Welcome back to Movement, our running podcast with our very own in-house running expert, Dr. Rajat Chauhan, and welcome to the 10th episode. As always, we'll start with questions from our listeners. The first question is from Lalna Zaveri of Delhi, and she's asking that on which side of the road should you run? And I think this is particularly relevant in India.
It's very relevant. India, women, guys, both. I mean, in bigger scheme of things, it's kind of very, very important for different reasons. So ladies have to be careful, definitely 100% run on the wrong side of the road. So basically facing the traffic, whichever side the traffic's coming, be on that side of the road. You're aware of what traffic is coming towards you. There have been cases, instances where, you know, people have been silly, you know, when you don't even know what traffic's coming. Could be anyone, someone on a bike, someone in a car, taxi, whoever. So very important for your own safety. You need to be looking at knowing what traffic is facing you. Very important. Guys, again, we need to understand, sometimes we end up becoming runners, becoming like, you know, like bonus points, as if it's a video game on and, you know, who hits the someone on feet. So seriously, please be on the wrong side. When I say wrong side, facing traffic.
Right.
Okay. We runners are luckier than cyclists. Cyclists can't, even poor guys do that. They can't be on the wrong side. They'll get in trouble either with the cops or the guys, you know, which is the traffic. So always please do that. Wear visible clothes. So adding more to what Lalna's asked, wear, if you can, fluorescent clothes. If you like running in the dark to start with, you need to be wearing fluorescent clothes, especially the t-shirt. There are things like little bands that come for either the wrist or, you know, the ankle and all that. What they are, reflectors. So basically the light from whichever car is there, it tells, like, you know, there's someone there. It makes them more aware.
Right.
So please be on the wrong side of the traffic.
The next question is from Daniel Funsong, who's asking that the first step is always very hard. Getting up early in the morning after a long night is a real pain in the neck. How to adjust the circadian clock for people who sleep late?
So it's a little tricky. You need to be sleeping, as I said, throughout that, you know, 6 to 8 hours. Eight is what the right number actually is. It has to be done. So there's no way you want to sleep late, you want to get up early, not working, not happening really. So you have to kind of, you know, really decide what's up.
Right.
So sleep on time, you know, like a, I don't know, like a 10-ish or something like that. If you want to go running at a 4:30, 5 or so. But if you're sleeping late, like a 1 p.m., then saying, but I want to go to run at 5 a.m., just not adding up. I would not be in favor of it, as much as I'm a movement advocate and all that stuff. That's only going to lead to more trouble. So both things can't actually go hand in hand. You need enough rest before you go for that run. So you need to adjust backwards. Socially, what it means for runners is sometimes we runners end up leaving parties and all that like an hour sooner than most other people would. I think you just need to kind of, you know, adjust your life accordingly.
Right.
And some of us end up running maybe Saturday mornings and not Sundays, for example, and do a party Saturday evening.
Right.
There are some of us who, you know, adjust lives accordingly. It's a little trade-off, yes, for sure.
The next question is from Manish Sharma, who's a runner from Bangalore and he's the co-founder of Printo. And he's saying, I'm really confused with all kinds of numbers that runners talk about. What is the most important number to look at while running?
So, yeah, the whole idea of running is, you know, not to be in a rat race yet again. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of numbers. I mean, sometimes I would throw those numbers at people, but generally, idea is to get moving, especially right now. It's only the episode 10th. People have only been moving around for 9 weeks or so, according to this. Even people who've been doing it for longer, seriously, don't, again, talk about a 99% marks that you were expecting or, you know, salary, which is how many lakhs a month, kind of a silly thing. Let's stop doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so whole idea is go have fun. If at all you have to look at something, look at time on feet. I'm not saying speed, I'm not saying distance. I'm saying time on feet. So first get comfortable with moving. Okay, and even throughout, if you notice that what advice I've been giving is walk for so many minutes and run for so many minutes.
Right.
I'm not at all talking about speeds because they are going to be different for everyone depending on what was our baseline to start with. Okay, so and it's your own thing. You need to do better than what you did yesterday. So time on feet works for me. If someone's only talking about health, I'm comfortable if they just spend 30 to 40 minutes on feet. The combination of walk, run, purely for health. There's no reason you need to do a half marathon or full marathon, really. I mean, for health, that much is enough. So that's the thing. Time on feet is the only number I'm interested in. Yeah.
Simply enjoy the journey.
Yes, completely.
Great. Right. So what is the drill of the week?
Right. So drill is, again, taking it further on. So, you know, we've kind of made people hop in the same spot.
Right.
And then hopping with, you know, having a proper kind of thing. So the upper shoulder, you know, the shoulders are relaxed. And then hopping tall. So you have a puppet, like kind of a, imagine if you're a puppet and that there's a string on the top of the head and you're being pulled up each time. So you're keeping that tall posture all the time. And then one episode we were talking about close your eyes then. So it was just getting people comfortable with just hopping softly on the same space. And then we were talking about side movement. First, we started with just side movement. Then we spoke about that grapevine thing where we were taking one leg over the other and things like that. Now, here, we're just moving a little bit for more leap of faith, almost, if I can call it that. So imagine your friend, not even imagine, you have to have a friend standing in front of you, safe distance away. So basically, you'll be almost be falling and he stops or she stops your fall.
Oh, I see.
So basically, that trust factor is going to be very important. And you keep practicing it. So first be far closer, just maybe less than a feet away from each other. And, you know, you fall and that friend of yours stops that fall of yours. And then maybe a feet and a half kind of a thing. Now, this is relevant because when you're running, there needs to be a little tilt. If you're running tall, you're putting too much, you're running against gravity. Sure. So using too much of your quads, so quadriceps, the thigh muscles.
Yeah.
And when you're leaning forwards, now gravity will want you to fall down. But the point is, if you have that tilt right and, you know, right angle and all that stuff, correct angle, suddenly it'll be like a pendular kind of a movement that'll be on. So you're just tilting slightly forwards. And before you can even fall, the next step comes forward. And the next step comes forward. So it's a natural running style that we're talking about here. So this whole thing about learning how to fall and that leap of faith that I'm saying is super crucial. So let go.
Right.
Okay. So practice it 10, 15 times a day with friends before you start running. Really helps your running movement, actually.
Great. I think that's very useful. So what's the exercise of this week?
Is a hip hiking. Most people are doing most of the exercises with both feet together.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, when you run, it's one leg on the ground at a time and the other one's off, and then, you know, it's one leg at a time kind of a thing, right? So that's the idea with this one. So what you're doing here is you stand just normally tall, and now think you're raising your left hip upwards, and then you hold it for a second or two and you bring it down, and then do the thing with the other side. Do 15-20 repetitions. And do four to five sets in a day. Now, some people, just standing on the ground, they can't understand what I mean by this. Okay? So stand on a stair. One leg is on the step. One leg is off the step. Okay?
So is that hanging in midair?
That's right.
Okay.
Right? So the leg which is hanging midair, let that leg actually go further down the stair itself.
Mm-hmm.
And now your butt, what it should be doing is to be raising the leg up higher than where the stair is. So that is hip hiking. So you're raising the leg up like that. Okay? And then do that 15-20 repetitions. Do it slow movement. So do it very slowly. 1, 2, 3, goes up. Hold it for a second or two. And 1, 2, 3, go down. 15 reps, 20 reps, you keep doing that. Surprisingly, you'll be working on muscles that you've not worked before.
Mm-hmm.
But very important for running because that's how it happens, one leg at a time. And most people, they're flopping. They, you know, as soon as they're on one leg, they go like that. That control over your step will be a lot better. Or your running will be a lot better once you do this hip hiking thing.
Right.
15-20 reps both sides, on the step preferably. Okay, whichever leg, again repeating it, whichever leg you will be raising or whichever hip you'll be hiking is the leg off the stair in midair, and you let it fall below the stair, you get it as high as the stair and further up. So it's coming, the movement's coming from the hip, hence hip hiking. Okay, and as I said, very important for running, for both efficiency and preventing injuries.
Great. Again, very useful. So what's the running schedule for this week?
Right. So same thing as last week. Now what we've done is we've spoken about the pacing bit. Very important that three runs that happen in a week are very relevant, very structured. Other three to whatever people do, whatever they have time for, can be very easy, comfy, easy peasy runs and all that stuff. But the three have to be very structured. So the first one, as I was saying previously, on a Sunday, do a long, slow run. So I like to call it as slow as you like. There's a reason for using that term. So focus is on as slow as you like. Slow, so not on how fast. So please just go slower than you can, kind of a thing, okay? And it's a slow walk to start with, 1 minute. Brisk walk for a minute or two. And then 6 minutes, you're just trying to jog if you can, but very easy, comfortable pace. Last week we did 5 minutes, now we're doing 6 minutes. And try to repeat some 5-6 sets if you can do. Each time during a walk break, I'm okay if someone even sits down. Recover well, and then actually again go. So whole idea is time on feet is what we're working with here. And very easy peasy pace, 30 to 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes is what you're looking at. And again, the pace that you're keeping is a conversational pace. So, you know, if you were to ask, how are you? You know, they should be giving you two sentences kind of an answer. So it's no more breathless than that. Next is a tempo run. Now, tempo run, as I was saying last time, same thing there. When a question is asked, basically, you can actually answer in only 4 or 5 words and no more.
Hmm.
But you're doing a nonstop run for 10 odd minutes. Maybe try to repeat it 2 times, maybe 3 if you can. But it's okay even if you can just do once.
Hmm.
Now, this is important because now what you're doing is you're doing a combination of speed running, a speed workout, and a little bit of endurance that you're working with. So it's a good one. So maybe what you could have done is a very easy, comfy walk for 5 minutes, the 10-minute good run, at a good pace of conversing only 4 or 5 words only. And then again, cool down with 5 minutes. So that's your 20-odd minute tempo run day. That could be on a Thursday.
Great.
And interval training could be on like a Tuesday. You repeat, you know, your runs some 5 times, 6 times, and you do for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay too for me to start with. Maybe you can get on to 5 minutes. But you'd recover in between for a minute doing, or maybe even longer, doing a slow walk, catching your breath. Here the thing is, the pace is such that if you were to ask me a question while running, I can only answer in a word or two.
Right.
You know, it's that pace. So what happens here is, it's all relative. You know, my fast pace could be someone else's slow pace and vice versa, kind of a thing.
Right.
So yeah, we just go by simply by how much someone can talk at that time. Okay.
Great. Moving on, we move to the motivational story of this week, which is about Rajesh Vecha.
Right, so Rajesh is from Hyderabad currently. He's really an unsung hero in the running community. I mean, he's a dear
mm-hmm.
friend, but he's the one who's got Hyderabad Marathon off the ground. So, you know, he's a good guy that way. And what had happened to him was in 2002, he had been active throughout as a kid in school and all that stuff, school and college.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2002, he had moved from Chennai to Bangalore. And as much as he was eating well and all that stuff, but he had put on weight. He had put on 22 kgs. From 77, mm-hmm. he went on to 99.
Okay.
He tells me 99. Maybe it was actually a century as well. I don't know. but the point is, he became unfit, which he realized. Even playing table tennis, he used to get very breathless. It was like a wake-up call for the guy saying, listen, what is happening here? I was the guy who was actively taking part in sports days, and what's happened here? So he started going to the nearby gym, started walking around, and in 3 months' time, he reduced 99 to 85 kgs again.
Wow.
You know, so he saw that change in himself. And I think one thing that made one big difference for him was the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics, where during the marathon, it was the first year that ladies were allowed to run the marathon.
Okay.
And a participant from Switzerland, Gabriela Anderson, skis. She actually just 400 meters short of the finish line. She could not forget stand or run. She was actually on the ground on all fours, and she was literally struggling to take one step forwards on all fours to mm-hmm. get to the finish. And she didn't stop. And it took her 6 minutes to do those 400 meters. And the whole stadium was just clapping for that lady who was not running, not standing, was on all fours trying to get to the finish.
Oh,
so the spirit of marathon was, you know, that hit him. And then he ran a marathon in 2004 in New York. And he realized that, you know, it's done at a very different level. Actually, he did it in 2007. He understood how to do things better, you know, how to organize things better. Because in India, he realized that all these marathons are organized by event management people. You know, people who do the pandal stuff and, you know, are wedding organizers and all that
right.
are also doing running events.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's silly. I mean, they don't know what running is.
Yeah.
So what he did was he got a bunch of runners together in Hyderabad. And he put the Hyderabad marathon, which now happens every third Sunday of August. It's been happening.
Okay.
And it's a run done by runners. It's a very, very well done run, but done by runners for runners. And that's actually on 28th of August anyways. That's our guy, or, you know, the motivational runner for the week.
Right. And he's sort of quoting Abraham Lincoln when he says that Abraham Lincoln had what he said about democracy, government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And he says, similarly, this running movement shall not perish from the earth because the common people are now taking it forward.
Brilliant, isn't it? Yes. So that's Rajesh Vecha for you.
Right. Great. So let's recap some of the running events which you've mentioned in previous episodes.
Right, so we have Pinkathon on the 4th September. It's at Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium. The distances are 3K, 5K, 10 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
And only women are expected to be participating in it. So guys can go along there, drop them, you know, and clap and all that stuff, motivate the ladies to finish. And it doesn't matter if they can't run nonstop. You know, they just need to get to the finish line. Actually, start line first and then finish
right.
line. So the registrations are open for this for another 4 days. So 30th August when it shuts. Then there's Coimbatore Half Marathon. The race is on 2nd October. The distances that are happening are 5, 10 and 21. Deadlines actually another 5 days, 31st August.
Right.
And then there's the Wipro Chennai Marathon, which is on the 11th December. There's 10, 21 and 42. The registrations are open, but only till October. So again, as the organizers have been telling me again and again, please tell people, register soon. so they can train well.
Right.
Okay, and they can enjoy the race then. So that's the Wipro Chennai Marathon. And again, Wipro Chennai Marathon is again something similar to the Hyderabad one, where it's the runners who put the show together. It's a bunch of runners who actually have this whole thing together. Then Bangalore Marathon's on the 16th of October, deadline's 15th of September. So those are the races in various parts of the country.
Great. So wherever you are, be sure to join in and keep running.
Yes, definitely. Go run.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Ram.